But I told you there's growing concern about what we are seeing emerge out of the Eastern Cape with new COVID-19 cases in the last 14 days, 145% higher than in the previous 14 days. We've heard the president raise concerns about the spike in the Eastern Cape, particularly in the Nelson Mandela Bay metropolitan. And of course, what are we seeing now? Hospitals starting to run out of ICU beds, high care beds, oxygen tanks. And now here's a worrying one. 80% of patients on ventilation treatment apparently don't come out alive. Doctors are said to be fatigued, and when they're not, they're making those awful decisions about who gets to live and who does not. Now, back in July, Dr. Sibongile Zungu was appointed as the head of the newly created project management unit in the Eastern Cape after she and other experts were deployed by the Health Minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, to try and fix the province's disastrous response to COVID-19. Dr. Zungu is now on the line joining us. A very good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning, Bongani, and good morning to your listeners.
I've seen reports emerging on television. It's being reported on it. What's developing and unfolding, particularly in Nelson Mandela Bay, but all around the Eastern Cape, Dr. Zungu, is really, really concerning.
It is quite concerning that our numbers are rising and rising exponentially. And especially in the Sarapatman district and Nelson Mandela Bay Metro.
How do you explain the rise?
The way it started, it was more of a contained outbreak in one of the farming areas when they had the seasonal workers coming in the Sarapatman district in Gokama. And from there, the containment strategies worked, but the issue was the proximity of Sarapatman and the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro and the movement of people is what made the movement of the virus possible at that time. And it was a time also when we were at the level one disaster restrictions.
Yeah.
And therefore the movement was quite free for everyone. And then the infection moved in that manner. So by the time that contained infection was controlled, the infection, the virus had moved.
Well, it has moved, as you say, and it's really, really bad now. But give us a sense of just how bad things are.
It's bad, but it's getting some attention because the province has taken a multisectoral approach in managing the COVID-19 situation. The main issues are around people movement and observing the regulations. And as we all know that we have the need to improve the economy. However, we also have a need to self-manage ourselves.
Sure. Dr. Zungu, let me come in here and please understand where I'm coming from. I'm broadcasting from Gauteng. Most of the people listening to this conversation are in Gauteng. But we're focusing on the Eastern Cape and what's unfolding in Nelson Mandela and Sarapatman, because I think there are lessons to be learned for all of us wherever we are in South Africa. So I don't want us to talk about how it is being managed, but give us a sense of how, through not observing the non-pharmaceutical interventions, we are seeing these spikes. So there are lessons that we in Gauteng, for example, can learn. I don't want to put a shine to it. How bad is it?
It is quite bad in terms of the infections that we're seeing daily. On a daily basis, we in Nelson Mandela, we do not see less than 500 cases, and it has been like that for the past 2 weeks. And the more we strengthen our testing capacity, the more cases we get. And we now have even introduced the rapid test that we got from NHLS, and the numbers are then going to increase. And in Sarapatman, we are not seeing anything less than 200. And if you consider the population of Sarabatman, it's a small population to be having that number almost on a daily basis. So when you have that number, it means in circulation, people who are still capable of infecting others that you have as active cases. In Nelson Mandela Bay alone, you have almost 7,000 cases, 6,832, and in Sarabatman you have 2,142. And in that way, you then need to confine these people in isolation so that they don't move. But to confine a person, it requires the cooperation of the person not to move, because when they move, there is a chance that they can infect others. And also those that are around that person have to be cautious and know that the chance that they themselves can be infected. And the third chance also is that the infections, as they were coming in, they were more in people who are active, working, or students. And students are highly mobile.
Doctor, what's the capacity of the health system to deal with the spike that you've just described? I understand intensive care units are full. High care beds are not enough. And there's not enough staff that are working on this problem.
Definitely, the health system, if we continue in the same trajectory, is going to buckle down under pressure. Because the numbers of doctors, nurses, physiotherapists that we have is enough to work on the health system in a normal situation. Then when you add COVID, without the buffer or the protection of the lockdown, during the lockdown, we could manage because the other activities were not happening. And as this outbreak continued, it was at a time when we were starting to catch up on the I would call them normal cases that we work on, the chronic cases, the operations, and others. And with the level that we are at, we were starting to do that. And with the opening up of activities, then we are not protected from other emergencies that are non-COVID. So the car accidents are happening, the stabbings are happening, the injuries are happening, everything else is happening, and then there is also COVID.
Talk to me about crippling staff shortages. I understand that there's an issue of healthcare worker fatigue. People are simply not showing up. They themselves may be exposed to the virus, if not need psychosocial support.
Definitely, we have approached partners to assist us. Firstly, we have the Department of Social Development that is assisting to some extent. And then we have had non-government organizations that are assisting us with the support to psychosocial support to healthcare workers. And recently also we have broadened the contract that we had for emergency services, that is with the one service provider. We've broadened it to all the healthcare workers. However, what we have noticed is that the uptake of virtual consultations for the health workers hasn't been great, and therefore we have approached another non-governmental organization, and also we have approached the UNFPA to support in terms of assisting us with the psychosocial support. So we have the plans that are there, and on Saturdays we do have sessions where we speak to clinicians and let them voice the concerns they have, and we strategize together on how we are going to address the the health system in general, given the challenges that we're facing.
Dr. Zungu, is it fair to say, but this was always going to come, there were always going to be cluster outbreaks, perhaps even a second wave of COVID-19? Did we plan well enough, having learned the lessons in the earlier peak? Let me give you an example. The Western Cape, for example, has arrangements with private hospitals to bring in some of their healthcare workers should the situation be similar to what you've just described in the Eastern Cape. We have no such arrangement, and what little plans there are seem inadequate. You're asking doctors to leave private practice and come and stay in student accommodation with really no concrete plan to make sure that they can be integrated into your system. Did we plan well enough ahead of this crisis?
Well, we did plan. Maybe it should be put forward that actually in the Eastern Cape, we do not have the luxury of many private facilities. And where the pressure started first was in the private sector, because the private sector has run out of, it was the first to run out of beds in terms of ICU and high care beds. And there is quite a huge reliance on the public sector for those beds in the province. And the beds are available in the province. What is a short at the moment is the staffing. And even the staffing, if we had that buffer of not having the other services, we could be able to have the staff. And then we then started to stop elective surgeries and to start moving staff from other wards. But those wards were already filled because we were sort of normalizing, if you can put it that way. And therefore, to compete for staff, it becomes a difficult matter for the staff that is working in those wards as well as working on COVID. It is quite a challenge for the staff. And as we were starting to move staff from other areas also that seemed to be having a low incidence, we then realized that in those areas as well, we are starting to see some rise in the cases. And then we became very cautious to say, let us rather keep them here so that where they are, to contain the
spread.
To contain the spread where they are. So we couldn't move them again to go and assist in Nelson Mandela in Parapatman.
All right. I think all those problems you are outlining there, Dr. Zungu, are very clear indications. They're lessons for all of us to learn to avoid what you are dealing with. Good luck to you and everybody involved in helping deal with COVID-19 in the Eastern Cape. But I think it's a lesson for all of us, whether you're in the Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Gauteng, KZN, wherever you are. Take note, this could soon be the rest of the country if we're not careful about social distancing, make sure we're sanitizing, and then obviously isolating when we are exposed.